Well, this morning we're going to continue our series called Life Outside the Boat, and the whole idea here is living by faith. A couple weeks ago we started remembering how Peter stepped out of the boat in faith and walked on water towards Jesus, and how we want to do that in every aspect, not necessarily walking on water, but living outside the boat in regards to faith. I want to share a little story as I start in. A couple of days ago, I'll be talking about courage, but a couple of days ago, I have an example of where courage wasn't quite fully activated in my life the way it could have been. And so it was like three or four nights ago, and Crystal and I were going to bed, and there was these little bugs flying around. Now, normally don't really bother me. They look cute, like this one, right? Little ladybug. And for whatever reason, like, there was three of them, I counted. I started, like, freaking out over ladybugs. So one landed on my face, and I just, like, spazzed out. My wife's pregnant and tired, and she's, like, cool, calm, and collected, and I'm, like, freaking out, right? So she goes over and obviously does what I don't do. She removes the ladybug into the trash can. Then another one lands on my shoulder, spazzed out again, you know, freaking out. Crystal's like, you just need to chill out, you know, if you're looking for like a strong guy, and those are maybe you're looking for someone to marry, find somebody that can tackle ladybugs, you know, make that on the resume, make sure it's like on their social profile, conquered most ladybug encounters. But then the third one was in the bed, like in the sheets, and that just freaked me out more. And looking back in the moment, like right after, I'm trying to come up with a bunch of excuses for what just happened to Crystal. But if you get freaked out over ladybugs, there's not a lot of excuses you can come up with. If the ladybug was literally that size, I think I'd be right to be afraid, right? If it was coming at me like that, like, oh, it's a truck, woo! But I didn't really have anything. So I really failed in courage. I thought of a scripture the next day while doing quiet time. I'm like, what happened last night? And Proverbs 24:10 came to mind. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small, and so is my opponent. I'm just like, well, thanks, God. I don't know what happened there. So I started to recite to Crystal all the times that, you know, I've conquered, you know, ladybug encounters before. And there was a period in my life 20 years ago when I was 10. I was living in a really old farmhouse in New Hampshire. My parents were renting. Real great provision for us as a family at the time. But it was one of those houses that, like, it meets, like, a house and a zoo together. Like, you have a lot of animals. Maybe some of you have those kind of houses. There's literally, it looked like several hundred ladybugs in every corner of every room in the entire house. And the house was huge. So you're just used to them crawling over each other. So I'm like, man, I got ladybug experience. So I'm trying to impress Crystal now after freaking out with my past. Then I'm like, man, there was wasps just flying around at night. Me and my brother got our rubber band guns. We take out the wasps, turn on a light, and that's good entertainment, especially when you're homeschooled. You got to do something, right? And there was also animals in our dirt basement. You open the door, you could look down and see eyes glowing at you. You just shut the door, right? We had a Dutch oven that went through the entire house in multiple layers. And you open it up and just mice would be in there running. Mice would run at night. And some of you maybe can relate to some of this. So I felt like, man, if I can impress Crystal with the past, maybe she'll excuse the current failure, right? But what I want to talk about today is courage, and specifically courage for today, because sometimes we can live in the past and be like, look at these exploits, and obviously hopefully greater than encounters with ladybugs, but things that God's calling us to, and most of our conversation can sometimes be, look at the things I did for God in the past, where I believe God has great things that he wants you and I to do today, to step out in courage. And so courage for today, we'll be looking at Hebrews 11, 23 to 29. The definition of courage, as defined by Webster's dictionary, is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. As we've been talking on the context of faith, this whole idea of stepping out to what God's calling us, stepping out because we look at the person of Jesus Christ and the character of God, and we see that he's a good God, he's unchanging, has the same plan, it's a good plan for us, and he'll call us out and having that faith to respond. But the faith really to be activated really does take courage. Like Peter stepping out of the boat takes courage. And as we're going to be looking at a couple examples in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as we're thinking it through, might there be areas in your life or my life that maybe God's asking us to step out in faith, but maybe we're faltering in the area of courage, meaning we know what to do and we know how to do it, but it's just acting on it with courage and the ability that God has given us. So I was thinking about faith and courage. I made a really simple diagram. So currently where we are, or where you are, and where I am, and then where you want to be in the things of God. It takes faith to go there, but courage activates it. Now, as I was thinking about courage for today, I was like, the only way you can have courage for today is if you have hope for tomorrow. Right? All right, if you want to destroy someone's courage, take all the hope away from a situation they're in. So say you have like a relationship where someone's courageously trying to work on it to make it better. Just tell them it'll never get better. Right? Courage, gone. Say you're battling like a health issue and just say, your health issue is never going to get better. This is the best it's ever going to get. You just zap someone's courage. They might have had faith for it, but if you take away the hope of tomorrow, the hope of God's promises, the hope of Jesus Christ, if we forget that, then our courage just literally, we just undermine it. Courage for today, hope for tomorrow, and our hope is in our living Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. We're going to be looking at primarily the story of Moses as recorded by the author of Hebrew, but looking back. And we're going to look at a couple of key players around Moses' life, but also Moses himself and the Israelites. So let's check this out. Hebrews 11, verses starting in 23. We'll have it up here on the screen. Verse 23. So the author of Hebrews writes this. He says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. And I'm going to unpack a little bit of this for those who are not familiar. But because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Kind of a fun wording. For he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured it as seeing him who is invisible. And that's kind of our definition of faith. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our hope. And God, you are alive. God, thank you for the difference you make each and every day. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill us with a bigger perspective of who you are. God, fill us with your love and your hope. And God, as we look at other people who are courageous today, Lord, I pray that you encourage us and equip us. God, we can be courageous today too. Guide us and lead us, Lord, during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to look at three questions. I'm going to look, and the answers will be in the text. Just a way to kind of go through our scripture this morning. So courage for today. Three things we're going to look at, three questions is, who do you fear? What do you value? Where are you headed? Who do you fear? What do you value? And where are you headed? And we're going to take it in little snippets. So let's start in the beginning. So a little background on Moses. I know there's a lot of people, you're very familiar with the story. You either taught it or learned it. Maybe you know most of it. You can check out a lot of it in the book of Exodus. But in the beginning of Moses' life, he had a pretty unusual start. And before Moses was even someone to be courageous and needed some courageous exploits we're about to look at, there were other people in the background who also were stepping out in courage. They were stepping out in faith, who had a huge view of God and were taking literally life and death risk to the follow after what God had. So Moses was born into a time when there was the Pharaoh of Egypt did not honor the Hebrew God, Yahweh, anymore. He didn't know about that God. You might remember that there was a Pharaoh before that who knew of Joseph, and Joseph was the one that was like his secondhand man. There was a real blessing on all the Israelites. They actually all came there, and they were able to survive a famine. So really cool provision, but then someone new came who didn't know about Joseph or didn't care to know. I don't know exactly what happened there. And so now the Hebrews, the Israelites, were being suppressed, and they were being enslaved. And Pharaoh was looking at just the way that the Hebrews were populating in such a numerous amount of Israelites that he's thinking, you know, if there's like an enemy that comes and attacks me, if the Israelites will, you know, grab some arms, get some weapons and join them, they'll probably overthrow us. So he came up with this idea of we're just going to start wiping out any of the male Hebrews, babies that are born. And so you might remember this. He tells the midwives, and there's two of them who are actually mentioned by name in the Bible, which is so cool, who really are the first two people of courage in this story that is mentioned. Because instead of fearing the king's edict of like, if when the Hebrew woman is on the birthing stool in Exodus chapter 1 or 2, and you see that it's a male, they're like, kill the baby. If it's a girl, keep the baby. They want to decrease population that way. But the midwives, they didn't fear Pharaoh. They feared God. Even though there's literally like a life and death situation going on here. And so they would not do what Pharaoh told them to do. And more babies were being born. And people of God kept growing. And so Moses is born into this. So he's a male, and he's supposed to be killed. But his parents were hiding Moses. And as you remember, Moses was put into a basket. And I was about to say, Moses' parents are also men and women of faith and men and women of courage, doing something against what the king said, because they were not afraid. These are pretty bold and gutsy things. I know most of us in our life today don't have life and death scenarios like this, where we're literally going, hey, I hope I don't get found out, because if I do, I might get killed. So Moses' mom puts him in a basket. You might remember he puts him in the Nile, and maybe trusting God, I know what's going to happen here, or I can't keep him hidden, I'm just trusting you, or maybe she knew maybe what would happen. But Moses floated down in a basket. His sister was watching from like the reeds of the Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter actually finds Moses in a basket, which is pretty crazy, right? A baby going down a river in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter sends out one of her servants, finds out it's a baby. And then I love Moses' sister, who's also, I think, a person of courage, because she comes up to Moses, to Pharaoh's daughter, and says, hey, you have a baby there. I can find one of the Hebrew wives who are currently nursing. I can come have them nurse the baby. And so Pharaoh's daughter's like, that's a great idea. Go find one of these Hebrew women, have them nurse this baby, and I'll pay her. And guess what? Moses' sister goes finds her mom. Isn't that pretty cool, right? So literally, she's now getting paid to nurse. And maybe some moms are here like, man, that would have been great, right? Great financial revenue right there. But you get to see God's provision in this story. But really, those midwives, which I think is so cool, were women of courage. And they were setting the opportunity. But also Moses' parents, sister. And now we're looking at Moses. They were not afraid of the king's edict. They did not fear Pharaoh over God. They actually had a much healthier, reverent fear for God and his abilities than over Pharaoh. And sometimes in life, we get these circumstances. We can have people, different things going on, adversities, challenges. And we can be more afraid of that and be more fearful about what will happen there than trusting in God's ability to do a miracle in that situation. Are you with me? Maybe you have some things. There could be situations, people, encounter, relationship, whatever. You know what things make you afraid. But when you see God's ability, it just totally changes. You can step out with faith. You can step out in courage. So who do you fear? We see those in the beginning of this passage fearing God over fearing Pharaoh and his anger. So I want to move on to verse 24 to 28, looking at a little bit more about Moses. So what do you value? So here, Moses is now being brought up in Pharaoh's daughter's palace. Like, talk about having, like, luxury. As I mentioned before, the Israelites were slaves. They were actually being, like, worked harder and harder in one way to try to decrease the population, but another way just to suppress them. So he has family now. I don't know how it worked with Moses walking around, but he probably could easily see a bunch of his people being suppressed and hurt. I'm sure Moses' mind, he has the option to be like, you know, if I just keep a low profile, do what I'm supposed to do as Pharaoh's like adopted son, Pharaoh's daughter, adopted son, I can have a pretty easy life. But I love what it says here, the author of Hebrews says, he chose rather, Moses, to be mistreated with the people of God to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. If there ever was an opportunity for someone in the Bible to want to just go along with the flow and fit in, I think Moses would have had every thought to do that, right? Just fit in. Be in there, go with it, keep it easy. And I was thinking so much, we're not in this situation. We're not in like a royalty situation where we're trying to hide and maybe don't let anyone know I'm a Hebrew. But today in our culture, I think there is a draw to want to fit in and look exactly like everyone else that no one would even know I worshiped a living God. You ever feel that draw, that temptation, just to kind of slide in, not to look any different? I hope nothing will come up about Jesus or anything. I can have my quiet time. I can go to a small group. I can worship God. And we had a great time worshiping God this morning with music. But then during the week, it's like I'm an undercover brother or sister in Christ. I believe that God's calling us to step out courageously, to not be afraid to not fit in. Jesus actually says we're not going to fit in. We're aliens. We're sojourners. This is a temporary place that we should stand out. But it really does take courage, and it really comes down to what you value. Moses valued the reproach of Christ greater wealth, which is a cool wording. He considered more wealth than the treasures of Egypt, which is one of the richest places during this time to be in, for he was looking forward to the reward. Like I said, courage for today is only possible by looking at the hope of tomorrow, and specifically the hope of Jesus. In Hebrews, you have men and women who are looking to the rewards that God is promising, not necessarily in this life, but in the life to come, and they went courageously for it. I'm sure what Moses was doing, and maybe even the midwives or the parents or sister, if you were to interview them, you'd say, hey, are you a courageous person? I don't know if they would necessarily say I'm a courageous person, but I think they'd probably say I have a big view of God, that I trust God more than any of these circumstances. And oftentimes when it comes to courage, there's people that are very scared, very fearful, very meek, very anxious, that do incredible things for God, not because they think, oh, I'm just a courageous person, but because they realize how big God's ability is to work through them. Are you with me? And then looking back, oh, wow, that was courageous. You did that. You had that conversation. You went over there. You moved there. You got that job. You went to that country. Man, that's some courage. But in the moment, it's like, I'm just a weak person stepping out, trusting in God, Lord, and his ability to work in us and through you. But what do you value? There can be a tendency for us to be more focused on the things on this planet, what we can get in materialism, just this life, that we lose that picture of life with Jesus. I've been thinking of Revelations 4 this week about just the elders and those in the throne room of God as John saw this vision, just worshiping Jesus day and night, endless praise. I'm like, wow, we got a great destination, don't we? The best destination coming. But sometimes we get so focused thinking like this planet and this world is the best thing we got going that our decisions aren't to reflect the kingdom of heaven, but more of a kingdom of this earth. Jesus' prayer was that the kingdom of heaven would invade the kingdom of this earth. But sometimes we can try to go back and forth. Who do you fear? What do you value? Do you value the world's smorgasbord or heaven's riches? Moses did. Moses also, in this passage, going back to the point one, back to fear. Fear is a huge thing that will stop faith. But Moses wasn't afraid. The midwives weren't afraid. Moses' parents weren't afraid. Now Moses was not afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The definition of faith, seeing what is invisible, seeing God, even though he cannot see him, he trusted him with his whole life. During our worship time this morning, we had that whole thing of surrender. I think to be courageous people for God, we have to come to a point, God, I'm going to surrender everything. No hold. God, I want the hope of Jesus to be the only hope I'm clinging to. Not clinging to myself, someone else, a title, money, career, power. God, I'm just clinging to you. Like the Apostle Paul, I press on to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. But we got to make room for that because sometimes we can kind of have our own agenda, really like Christ's agenda, and try to put them back and forth. But for those men and women who surrender their life completely to Jesus on a daily basis, we can step out into things of God with hope and joy, courage, confidence. Not because we're so great, but a great God's working in us. I want to look at the last verse this morning. Is where are you headed? So you might remember, kind of speeding up the story a little bit. If you look in Exodus, if you want to read all the details, there's lots of chapters on this. But we see Moses being born into an area of men and women being courageous in a place that would be very easy just to blend in. Then Moses stepping out in courage. But even though Moses had issues and he wasn't perfect and he had excuses and doubted God's ability to work through him, sometimes we can look at the Bible and think everyone's just perfect. And then we look at our life and we're like, well, God can't use me. But as you read the Bible, you realize God uses imperfect people, right? Like messy, broken, need of Jesus, grace, and mercy every day. And when you realize that, it's like, cool, I can fit in there. I hope you can fit in there too, right? Realizing, yeah, God would use his broken people to do amazing things for God. But Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt. After the 10 plagues went through, for those familiar with the story, Pharaoh decides, you know what, you can go. You can go. And so they're heading out, and you remember, get to the Red Sea. Boy, talk about needing courage and faith in God. Get to a Red Sea. Literally, it's not like get to a busy intersection and there's a train. You got to wait 5 minutes and Pharaoh's army is coming after you. Literally a sea. Like, talk about impossibility there. But boy, I just so appreciate just a reminder of how Moses had such a faith in God. Sure. Did he falter sometimes? Yeah. Did the end of his life, did he have some trouble there? Sure. And in the beginning? Yeah, sure he did. We get to see him step out in moments of leading the people of God with faith and courage. And because he believed in an amazing God who works miracles, God was able, through him, but God's source of power, to part the Red Sea. And as you remember, I love this, all the Israelites get to walk across the Red Sea on dry ground. They do what's literally impossible. And the Egyptian army, when they came to follow them through the Red Sea, once the Israelites were through, the sea came back together, and none of them made it through. They were going to try to take down the Israelites. And I want to remind each one of us the question, or ask the question, where are you headed? As the Israelites were going away from slavery to the Promised Land, they faced many difficulties. One of them was the Red Sea when they got out of Egypt, but they faced other ones. And there was often the discussion of complaining, of wanting to go back to Egypt. Back at Egypt, at least we had fish. Back at Egypt, things were more familiar. And there's a temptation as you're stepping out in faith and stepping out in courage into the deeper things of God and going closer to his kingdom and his purposes, there can be the straw to go back to the familiar. Even when the familiar is a broken place that God has sent to rescue you out of. Sometimes people in abusive situations will go back to the same abusive situations. It's familiar. It's home. It's comfortable. God has something so much better for us that sometimes we can get caught up in this worldly things and the brokenness of what's familiar and want to go back. And sometimes our heart is really set on where we want to go. God, I really want to go there. I really do. And I've shared this before, but I love it. Sometimes, quoting John Maxwell, he says, sometimes you can have upward hopes, but downward habits. That you really want the things of God, but the way we live our life is counter to that. And we want to be heading, but we're in this place of kind of division. And really, it's either you're all in for God or you're not. It's not like you really can do the whole fence back and forth thing. But where are you headed this morning? Are you focused in and prioritizing the things of God and his kingdom and realizing on this short life, we can be with God forever and eternity? God, I want to be headed towards that. I love, I think Steph mentioned it this morning in the children's message, but we want to love the Lord our God with everything we are. God, am I headed towards the things of you with my heart and soul and mind and strength? Or are there parts of me that want to linger back to, so to speak, to what I'm familiar, the places of Egypt that, God, you really saved me from? As I was thinking of people stepping out in courage and with faith, I thought of Hudson Taylor, who's a missionary, 1832, 1905. He set out to bring the gospel to inland China. And he was kind of a trendsetter in his time of doing things that most missionaries weren't doing. He had a lot of health things. He had some fear. He had some anxiety things. He stepped out in faith because he really wanted to see people who did not know the gospel to have an opportunity to hear about the gospel. Did anything with him, just like a little fun side thing, Hudson Taylor is known as, when he went over to China, he actually was one of the first missionaries, at least noted, that actually started dressing and living like the nationals he was around. Where many of the missionaries would go over in their style, whether that's Western or European or wherever, and try to invite those from another country to match them, he went over to match them culturally, which I think is neat. Because sometimes we can be tempted in this country, right, or in probably any country, just to fit in with the broken culture and its beliefs. But Hudson Taylor went over holding the hope of the gospel with courage and faith, but he changed culturally how he dressed and how he looked. He had a ponytail and he had the garments on, so he might be able to relate in a way. I think that's pretty neat because that reminded me of Jesus, how the King of all the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, like we're singing this morning, would come down in a form like us, like a little baby, humbly, but he did not compromise the hope of the gospel. Sometimes we're like, I want to fit in so much that sometimes we would be tempted to want to compromise the hope of Jesus. And I think there is a great wisdom to know that how can I reach out to friends and coworkers in a way that relates well, that connects to them on their level? But Lord, how can I be authentic to not watering down, not changing, not editing, not rewriting, not giving a spark note version of Jesus? Because sometimes it's easier to change and give like a watered down message, where I believe Jesus is wanting us to courageously step out with the full message of Jesus. Hudson Taylor had this quote, which I wanted to share with you. He said, "China is not to be won for Christ by quiet, ease-loving men and women. The stamp of men and women we need is such as will put Jesus, China, and souls first and foremost in everything and at every time. Even life itself must be secondary." Those are pretty courageous men and women, right? And he invited a lot, and a lot of them lost their lives or died or went off and did things. But he started something that is now the model for a lot of missions agencies, of even the work he did in China. And how can we apply this today? How might we be able to bring Christ and faith and courage to the people here? It's so exciting that right now Karen and Renee Stauffer are over in Ethiopia hanging out with widows and orphans. And if you're on Facebook at all, you can see all these cool videos Renee puts on there. It's so encouraging and inspiring. But we don't have to wait just to go to Ethiopia to make a difference. You can make a difference here. You can be missionaries here right at Potsdam. Sometimes I find that personally as a helpful model. If I find myself getting lulled to complacency and comfort and really just wanting to fit in, I think, Lord, what would it look like if I was a missionary in Potsdam? Because sometimes if you've been to another country or somewhere else in this country, you can go with this laser focus. Oh man, I'm here, I'm praying early, I'm reading scripture, I'm in a community of courage, I have men and women holding me accountable, I'm confessing sins, I'm moving out in power of the Holy Spirit, I'm seeing people healed. But then if we're in the same place for a long time, we can get really comfortable just doing the same thing, and sometimes the same thing is not progressing in God, it's just staying the same we were last week, or the year before, or 10 years, or 30 years ago. And like I mentioned earlier, sometimes, like I did, it's easy to recite what we did 20 years ago when we faced, you know, ladybugs of enormous size. Yeah, the ones in New Hampshire are way bigger here, by the way. No, they're still like this small. But we can go so stuck and like, let me tell you what God did back then. But I would love to be with you and me, myself included. Let's talk about what our great God is doing now. Let's not have all our faith stories be a week or decades ago. And be like, let me tell you what God did. It's like, I want to hear what God's doing now. Are you with me? Does anyone else want to hear about God's doing now? And he's at work. There's college students coming to know Jesus. And just this past week, we have people from rehab that are giving their lives to the Lord. There's amazing things happening. But I believe that God wants to use more of us to be part of that courageous outpouring of the gospel. So as I wrap up with a couple things, courage for today. Who do you fear? Are you fearing God or do you fear something else? And whatever we give more attention to and more hope in, we can almost hope more in fear than in God. We just assume things are going to go wrong over assuming things are going to go right. And like I said, if your hope is shattered and gone, your courage is gone with it. But if you believe in a God who has been resurrected from the dead, has resurrected you and offered you the power of the Holy Spirit, oh man, we have nothing to fear. What do you value? Do you value things more of this world? Fitting in, getting by, finishing with retirement well? Nothing wrong with just that in a general sense, but if that's the only primary sense of all the goals in your life, then I would just want to submit that it's too small. Like God's called us to a higher level of love and giving and sacrifice that looks more like Jesus and less like the things on this planet. And where are you headed? You find yourself being pulled to, I want to press into the things of God, but trying to go in a different direction. Or maybe this morning you're just completely going in the opposite direction. Maybe be honest. I'm not pursuing God at all. I'm here by mistake. Thought this was a Tim Hortons, and I'm just kidding. it's not a Tim Hortons, but we do have coffee afterwards, which is pretty good. I want to encourage you just to reflect, ask God, Lord, what might you be speaking? In what area? It's easy to think of courage and think of Mel Gibson and Braveheart. Like, that's what courage looks like. Blue paint on the face, rah, 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 running with it. But oftentimes, courage is just like that small, silent courage. Having a conversation with someone that you know you should have but you don't want to have, and God told you to do it, and you're going to have courage. It doesn't look flashy. It doesn't look something edgy. Maybe it's giving something when you realize that's going to be a hard gift to give, but God wants me to do it. I'm going to have courage that God's going to provide. stepping out in faith. I don't know what God's working in your life, but I know God knows exactly what he wants to do in your life and my life. What places in your life are you needing to step out in courage? Let's take a moment just to listen to the Lord. It's great to talk about hearing from God, but I think it's also great just to intentionally just pull away. So we're just going to take a couple of seconds just to quiet ourselves. Ask the Lord, Lord, is there any area that you're wanting me to step out in faith with courage, God? Maybe there's a conversation, an action, but ask the Lord. Just take a couple moments just to be silent, and then I'll close this in just a moment. God, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us. God, thank you that you call us to do great things for you, but you equip us to do them. And God, I just pray for your hope to fill our hearts this morning, that we could have a big picture of you, God. That we wouldn't just look at what you're calling us to, but God, we would fix our eyes on Jesus, and from that perspective, look at what the calling is focused on. God, help us to grow in faith. For those who are struggling with doubt, Lord, help us in our unbelief. God, help us to have a faith that rises to you, that glorifies you. Help us not get lost in just busyness of doing good things, but help us, God, to focus on the God things that you have for us each and every day. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. I want to invite up the musicians at this time. As I was recently at a funeral, but it was a celebration of life service for Marianne's dad, Jim, on Friday in Rome, New York. And they finished with this hymn, which I love. And just part of it was just staying in my mind. It's called Because He Lives. And there's this one part of it that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And I was just locked in there. I just had that relooping. Because he lives, Jesus, I can face tomorrow. I want to remind each one of us here, because Christ is alive and at the throne, you can face tomorrow. You can face today. We have a living hope, a living Savior. I just want to encourage you with that. Lift your eyes onto Jesus. No matter how big the storm of life is going on right now, know that God is shining bright. I got this visual several times as praying for people this past week. I know Jesus is the Son of God, but just think of the actual sun in our solar system. And I was thinking of the sun shining so brightly and clouds just all over overhead. And maybe you've been in a plane before, and it's like a really bad storm. But man, you pierce through those clouds, and you see that the sun's shining. And sometimes in life, it could feel like because of the storms and clouds of life, we just think that the sun's not shining anymore. Like literally, the hope is gone. We don't see it. We don't feel it. We hear thunder. We see lightning. We see snow. Sorry, there's snow outside. That might be PTSD. But you see things that are just raging. But I just want to encourage you, Jesus is always shining. No matter what you're facing, no matter how loud the noise gets of God is not there, the lies of the enemy, he wants to say, he forgot you. Know that Jesus has never forgotten you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen?